Good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. Oh, let me hit the record button real quick. Woo! Okay. You don't know this, but I just walked right in. That is not good to tell people that I'm just now walking in the radio station, but I made it. That's all that matters, right? Actually, it feels pretty good outside. You can tell the weather's changing. It's not as light as what it used to be. I want to share some information with you today, and of course, I really think that everybody can get something from this. So, okay, got to put my reading glasses on, make sure I can see the control board. Okay. All right, we're having a do-over right now. Ready, set, go. Okay. Two points that I want to make. Number one, the people that, and maybe I'm going back in time just a little bit. What I need you to think in terms of, there was a time that people ate more traditional diets, which means they probably ate real food. And real food is usually something that comes from nature. This is all God's great creation and invention. I don't think man is smart enough to make a food. Although, I've seen some pretty interesting things. But I am not eating a veggie burger. I'm just not. Anyway, people that live on the island of Okinawa, Japan, at least in the very, very recent past, before there was a fast food restaurant on every corner, oh my word, they could literally outlive just about anybody on the planet. And yes, they have a bit different lifestyle. They probably eat foods that most physicians wouldn't recommend. And for all I know, they have a thought process that gives them advantage over other people. I don't know all those things like it's a fact. But if you look at their longevity, well, it's without question. They live longer than almost anybody else on the planet. So it would behoove us to start asking maybe one of the questions why. I forget the exact region that is found in the country of France where they consume quite a bit of red wine. But they have more centurions there in that region than probably anywhere else, except maybe some parts of Okinawa, Japan. Not maybe Japan as a whole, but Okinawa, Japan seems to be superior for producing the highest number of centurions. The term centurion is going to refer to somebody that's age 100 and above. A super centurion? That is somebody that's made to the age of 110 above. So, if we look at people from this region in France, which I'm sorry, I needed to look that up. I didn't get that far this morning. But just trust me, they're just like in the United States, you may have, you know, Texas and you have New York and you have Wyoming. They're just different regions. So that's what I'm referring to when I say this region in France. So what do you do when the French people in this region, they have more centurions than anywhere else in France or maybe Europe or the world? But their diet is extremely rich in fat and is rich in cholesterol. Well, you just take a step back and you start asking, well, maybe there's a reason why. I'm going to quote Dr. John Mandrola, who's a cardiologist, and I like his quote, "Health cometh not from health care." Of course, he's a preventative cardiologist. I like that term because he's probably trying to establish principles and ideas to get you to a better place before you actually have a complete catastrophic failure called a heart attack. He says that the key determinant of a population's health is not the gleaming new medical centers that are on every corner, but on individual behavior. I'm going, oh, individual behavior, huh? You mean it's the person's choices that make the greatest difference? According to an editorial in the Journal of the American Medical Association, only about 10 to 20% of positive health outcomes are accounted for by delivery within our healthcare system. That comes from the Journal of the American Medical Association, April 10, 2016. That's it. I know that is shocking to hear that, but every time somebody goes to a doctor, let's just say that 10 out of 100 times, something positive comes from it. And this is the Journal of the American Medical Association saying this. That doesn't sound good to me. That's why you've got to set your mind like flint. You've got to be determined. The number one influencer of your health has got to be you. You've got to drive this bus. You've got to be the one that works it. And so one of the ways that you make good decisions is if you learn, if you're willing to gain knowledge. What a waste. Truly, what a waste to gain wisdom and insight and knowledge and not apply it. I mean, didn't the half-brother of Jesus, James, say that faith without works is dead? One person says they have faith, another person, they show you their faith by their works. Which, in the real world, would you agree with me that saying you know to do something but doing it not, that may not be a great definition of excellence? But if you know to do something and you feel like it's going to be beneficial, then you're doing yourself a favor. Listen to this right here. This comes from the Mayo Clinic Proceedings, April 2016. According to a recent authoritative report, this is what they're saying, folks. According to a recent report, only 3% of Americans live a healthy lifestyle. And that is defined as being physically active, eating a healthy diet, avoidance of tobacco, which I might note in parenthesis that tobacco takes an average of 10 years off your life. So you might be 44 right now and smoking a pack a day, but you're not going to make it to 84 most likely. And for all I know, you might just make it to 68. The reason I say 68 is my father was a cigarette smoker. When I grew up, I just assumed that everybody's dad smoked cigarettes because every friend I had, their father smoked cigarettes. Now, my mother didn't smoke cigarettes. She would not have died at age 91 had she not been run over by a logging truck. She still would be alive. She's been gone for a couple of years now. But she didn't smoke cigarettes. Now, my father was very thoughtful. He would go outside and smoke outside the house. I don't ever remember one time that he smoked at the table or in the living room or in the bedroom. He just didn't do that. So at least he was respectful that way. Now, if I was sitting beside him in the pickup, yes, he would crack his window slightly on the driver's side. But I'm sure you're just like I am. Don't you have memories? I mean, if your parents smoke, you know what it's like to breathe in secondhand smoke, right? Okay. Only 3% of Americans live a healthy lifestyle. They're physically active, they eat a healthy diet, they avoid tobacco, and they have a lean body shape. This is according to the Mayo Clinic. And which is interesting, a survey that I read about 3 weeks ago said that it's really only about 3% of the population that are really going to take great care of themselves. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think you should exhibit very good self-care? Does that mean you love yourself if you do? I think that's a good call. Yeah. Okay. This came from the Journal of the American Medical Association. And I know this is probably shocking information. It said the key marker of health was found to be the zip code. This is just a different thought, so consider it. Maps show almost a 15-year disparity in longevity between the most healthy zip codes and the least healthy zip codes. I mean, doesn't that gotta go to prove to you or show you that when you're around people that are like-minded and they try to exhibit healthy behaviors, maybe that's going to rub off on you? You know, as a side point, a gentleman told me yesterday that as his health improved, that began to get another relative's interest. And you know, since I'm hearing this, I like it. I like it very much. I thought to myself, you know what? Sometimes you do not know the impact that you're going to have on another person. But you know, today, oh man, I can say it pretty freely and easily. I want to have a very good positive impact upon you. Yes, absolutely. But as this man's health improved, that's when a relative decided, what is he doing? I'm seeing some changes. Doesn't the Bible talk about iron sharpening iron? If you're spending your time thinking about how can I benefit, help, encourage, and lift up other people, then I'd say that's a pretty good investment. Another quote from Dr. Mandrola, and I'm quoting him. He says, "It's about time Americans wake up to the fact that the medical profession does not determine a population's health. Skip building new medical centers and buying screening vans and build more parks and a path for your bicycle," says Dr. Mandrola. Man, do I like that. "It is individual behaviors that determine the health of a population, largely lack of exercise, obesity, and tobacco use. Most of the credit that modern medicine takes for improved health numbers emanates from a steep decline in smoking rates, not an increase in the availability of new medicines or treatments." Isn't that interesting? Don't you like it when somebody just speaks plainly to you? If somebody can just call it like it is. So, you've heard it. I'll say it again. Smoking cigarettes will take 10 years off your life. If you love those around you, you might want to just take a step back and consider. Just take it to heart. Okay. Of course, my next point is, it's not just a matter of exercise and avoidance of tobacco. I mean, those are great. But let me tell you about a new animal experiment that may change the way that you think about health. And to me, this is so intriguing and so interesting that if I share this with you, you might go, "Oh my goodness, I did not know that was the case." Well, there was a series of experiments where researchers, they raised genetically identical mice. That I find interesting. I think that's called cloning. They did this in a germ-free environment. That means they were not exposed to any type of bacteria or viruses or other bugs. And then what they did was, they placed in their digestive tract the intestinal bacteria from very obese women. I'm talking about Homo sapien women, human beings, people that we all know. These are real people, but they were obese. But they also, well, okay, I'm not being fair with you. These actually came from twins. So they had genetically identical mice raised in a germ-free environment, and they took the digestive tract of the mouse, and they inserted intestinal bacteria, one that came from obese women, and they had to find a twin that was very lean. So you had one twin that was large, and the other that was lean. And so what they did was, to keep all conditions equal, they gave these mice the same amount of food, but the mice that received the bacteria from the obese woman, oh my word, they grew heavier and heavier, and they had a heck of a lot more body fat compared to the mice that had the bacteria implanted from the lean twin sister. Oh, isn't that interesting? Here's the next thing they noticed. To me, this is exciting. The overweight mice, they also exhibited a less diverse community of gut bacteria. That comes from Scientific American 2014 and the journal Science 2013. Now, you may have heard me tell the story of that Polish research. Now, don't poo-poo it just because it's from Poland. They're super smart over there. You know that. I know that because I used to hear a bunch of Polish jokes growing up. I don't remember any of them, by the way. I don't know why people would say that. Anyway, but the study from Poland that was in 2005, all they did was, for 5 years, they asked participants in the study to send in samples of their poop. And that was it. So they did it 4 times a year. So you could say every quarter of the year, they would obtain a specimen of their bowel movement, and they would send it to the laboratory. And in this research facility, the only thing they did was they tried to measure what is the number or the concentration of beneficial colonies. I'm talking about individual, unique colonies of bacteria. in these people that were very lean and skinny and healthy. Now, that's the part I didn't tell you yet, but one group of individuals that sent in their stool specimen, they were very athletic, they were lean, they had no health issues. That's what you had to, you know, be to qualify to be in the study. And so at the end of the study, they found that the people that were very healthy and they had no heart disease, no cancer, no diabetes, there was no obesity, no autoimmune, no hormone problems, they harbored about 1,100 unique species of very, very beneficial microbes. And when I say beneficial microbes, I'm talking about bacteria. They help you digest your food. They break down toxic waste that could lead to cancer or is carcinogenic. They help balance your hormones. That's a good thing, right? They made sure that they could manufacture good B vitamins, such as B1 and B12, which we need. So they did a bunch of good things. Now, the other flip side of the coin is, they also enrolled people that had morbid obesity as a separate study. And they had advanced heart disease, heart failure even. A whole bunch of people had diabetes. There's a bunch of them that had severe arthritis and they had aches and pains. Basically, they were in poor health. And so over a 5-year period for these people that were very, very, you know, obese and not in great shape, all they did was they asked the question, how many unique species of beneficial microbes do they have? Now, you may remember from what I just told you, those that were very, very healthy, that had no issues and they loved their health and their life, well, they harbored about 1,100 unique species of beneficial bacteria, whereas those that had all the health problems, well, those people, they only had about 700 unique species of beneficial bacteria. So you know what the difference is. The healthy people had about a third more unique species. And so let me just break it down. When you have more beneficial microbes living in your gut, I don't know, what is there, about 4 pounds of bacteria? This would be trillions upon trillions of beneficial bacteria living in your body. Basically, you have 10 microbes for every cell that you have in your body, so there's actually more of them than there's more of us. So the last thing that I'll say about this is, in that study from Poland, at the end of 5 years, one of the researchers had a brilliant idea. He said, what if we took a stool culture or a stool specimen from the healthy women and we implanted that into the digestive tract of 17 highly obese women? And I have never seen a study like this before, my friends. It's phenomenal. You know what happened? They did not tell these obese, overweight women to stop eating Cheetos, Doritos. You probably think I'm making this up. The other day, I was at Walmart. And there was only one register that was accepting cash. I think I had a $7 purchase. But all the machines were out of cash, so I don't have a credit card. So I had to go through this one line, so I had to wait. Well, the woman just in front of me was operating one of those, I don't know if you call them motorized wheelchair or handicap carts. But, you know, they don't have a big basket on them. They have a basket in the front. And so I just look and see what she's eating, and it's, here it is. She had 3 loaves of bread. I think she had 2 pizzas, frozen pizzas, I mean. There was a big, hefty package of what's called ramen noodles, which, do you know what ramen noodles are? Oh, I used to eat those when I was in school. When you're broke, that's what you eat, because they cost like 5 cents for a package. I don't know about you, but having something in your stomach versus nothing is probably like a pretty good call when hunger pains take over and you're a poor student, right? Well, I've been there where you are. If you're going to school, I understand. And I'm not trying to be judgmental at all, but I'm just observing, what is a woman eating? And so she had boxes of frosted mini wheats. I think there were packages of donuts, several bags of chips of some kind. I don't really remember what the chips were, but the ramen noodles, that caught my eye, and the 3 loaves of bread. Well, I don't know. Would you tell me that she was choosing foods that were very nutrient dense? Well, of course not. There's no nutrient density. It really, nutrients are beneficial to the human body, but excessive refined carbohydrates, that is not beneficial. Most studies show that when they give monkeys lots of carbohydrates and their insulin goes up, they only live about 40% less upon the earth. So, you think smoking cigarettes takes 10 years off your life? Well, probably a high carbohydrate diet probably takes 12 years off your life. Anyway, so just an observation. The woman was very overweight, and most likely she would not be able to walk from the parking lot of the store to the back of the store to pick up butter or eggs or, you know, to buy a chicken. I did not see her cart go over where they sell asparagus and broccoli and onions and cabbage and cauliflower. Anyway, there were no vegetables in the cart. And so basically in the study from Poland, I'm sorry, I took way too long to say that. So back to the study from Poland, they took 17 morbidly obese women and they asked them, can we implant bacteria from these lean, healthy women into you? And they said yes. They never asked them to change their dietary habits. They didn't ask them to stop shopping, you know, where the junk food is sold. They didn't do that. They didn't give them one tidbit of advice on how to construct a healthy breakfast or a healthy lunch that's composed of real food. But in this study, it has got to be one of the most unbelievable weight loss studies I've ever seen before. And if you're hearing this for the first time, just think about the implications here. They didn't ask the women to change their diet. They didn't give them brilliant instructions on what to eat and how to eat. Although, I'm like you. When you don't know how to do something, seeking knowledge and information is sometimes the first step. You're saying to yourself, hey, how can I do this better? What can I do to improve my health? They didn't do any of that with these women, but all of them lost weight. And so the reason I think they lost weight is because they radically changed the types and the numbers of beneficial bacteria that live inside of them. And that changes everything. So let me take off in just a slightly, not a different direction, but a way to give a little bit more precision to this conversation so you can better understand where I'm coming from here. There is a gentleman by the name of Tim Spector. He is a geneticist at King's College in London. And he's saying that modern medicine has been on the wrong track for decades, and the key, get this, to improving one's health and reducing obesity is to eat cocoa, that's chocolate or cacao, drink coffee, and red wine. And he says these are all components of the basic Mediterranean diet, which is proven to be quite a bit healthier than the traditional UK diet or the American diet. But it may not be exactly for reasons that you might think, and that's where maybe kind of diving into this a little bit might kind of help flesh out. What are the beneficial components? Well, one of the unique substances found both in chocolate and coffee and red wine, they're called polyphenols. Have you ever heard the term polyphenols? Well, these tend to have very strong antioxidant ability, and they're about three times more abundant in the Mediterranean diet than compared to the American diet. So that may be something that you want to take to heart, like what are they doing or what are they consuming that we're not, because they're leaner and healthier than we are. But in his article, Tim Spector's article, he says they're not exactly working directly to improve health, but he's come to find out that these polyphenols that are found in olives, that's right, when you eat olives, those are called prebiotics, not necessarily probiotics, but when you eat olives, or you have wine, or coffee, or even tea, chocolate, these are all prebiotics. That is, they foster and encourage the growth of beneficial bacteria in the digestive tract, which is a key to transforming your body. Hey, I'm just like you. I want you to be able to transcend and transform from the way that you are and the way that you were into the new improved version of yourself. Don't you want to become transformed? I can tell you, you're only going to work. This is only going to go two directions. either your health will improve or it will get worse. There's not much straddling the fence on this, folks. So to put this to the test, Dr. Spector, he put his young son on a fast food diet. I'm sure the young lad rebelled against that, and he said no. Ha ha, I'm joking. So Dr. Spector, he put his young son on a fast food diet to try this out, just for a few days, and this is what he discovered. He found it reduced the diversity of bacteria in his gut. The ratio of more beneficial bacteria to less beneficial bacteria was adversely altered. That's almost identical to what the researchers in Poland found. The more beneficial, diverse bacteria you have in your gut, the healthier you are. You don't have the clogged arteries or the diabetes or the cancer. Yeah. Come to find out, humans have about 4 pounds of bacteria in your body, mainly in your gut, which is totaling trillions. I can't even give you a number. I'm just going to say trillions because maybe that sounds good to me, but I don't really know because I can't count. However, when they increase the consumption of supplemental good bacteria, such as Acidophilus and the Bifidus, that was provided in yogurt or dietary supplements, they found that that wasn't the answer either. So when I hear that, I'm going, okay, I can accept that. Now, there are many times that I've used probiotics with great, great success. I won't go into all the reasons how and why, so I know that they work. Anyway, this compound called a polyphenol, that's what I want you to focus on. Just remember the term polyphenol. And this antioxidant, or this prebiotic compound, it's actually found in berries. Another food that is found in high concentration is called the pomegranate. I find it so intriguing and fascinating that in the Old Testament, in the Bible, you know, the Word of God, the high priest, when he would wear his robes to enter the Holy of Holies, or his official garments, well, lo and behold, what did they have embroidered into the garment the high priest would wear? Well, it was a pomegranate. And when King Solomon was given the task and the responsibility for constructing the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, well, guess what he had the goldsmiths craft for him? The images of 200 golden pomegranates that were hung from a golden chain in the temple of the Lord. Interesting. Have you ever heard of a spice called turmeric or turmeric? Well, guess what? It has polyphenols also, so it's not just pomegranate, and it's not just berries. Cranberries have some also. Blueberries have some, I've read. But grapes, oh my goodness, especially the darker ones. And lo and behold, when you take a grape and you actually start the process of fermenting it, you get 1,000-fold more concentration of the polyphenols in the fermented grape juice. I think that's called wine. And they're showing now that when somebody consumes berries, pomegranates, turmeric, cranberries, grapes, especially in the form of wine, this does more to raise the ratio of good bacteria than any probiotic supplement. I'm telling you, this is like golden. Now, here's the part that intrigues me. I do not know if this information is going to translate into your brain like it would into mine, because I just like to know how things work. And yes, it's true. I have thought about certain situations before, and I read it completely wrong. But then again, you get an opportunity to learn from your mistakes and to grow, right? Okay, here goes. About 90% is the current estimate that I've been able to come up with by reading medical literature and scientific and research studies, which I like that stuff. That's like my love language. I know I sound like a weirdo, don't I? Okay, who cares? 90% of all the bacteria that live in your digestive tract or in your gut, it's going to be coming basically from two distinctive families. One of them is known as the Firmicutes, okay? The other one is bacterioid disease. So I need you to remember, anytime that you hear the name Roy, and a bacteria, that's good. But if it says Firmicutes, that ain't cute. Only the one that says Roy is the right one. Okay, I may have ad-libbed just a little bit of that, but that's pretty close to it. They're called Bacteroidetes. Okay, I may have botched the pronunciation slightly, but you can look it up for yourself. So when you have a gut, and the dominant bacteria in the gut, your gut, yes, I'm talking to you. When you have more Bacteroidetes than you do the Firmicutes, this is when you have the least amount of inflammation in your body. This is when you have the lowest level of plaque in your arteries. You know what plaque is? Plaque is what clogs your arteries. Not good. When someone starts to lose their memory, well, you can bet your bottom dollar they're starting to get some plaque in the arteries. That is not good. And so when you tend to have dominant species of bacteria called Bacteroidetes, this is when you have the greater burning of calories instead of storage. Or would you rather burn the fat for fuel efficiently? The answer is yes. Or would you rather store the fuel because you can't burn it efficiently for energy? Do you want to store it as fat? The answer is no. Well, the way this takes place, when an individual consumes these polyphenols from real food, and again, that could come from eating some forms of chocolate. When I say some forms of chocolate, you know I'm not talking about eating a Hershey's Kiss. That's probably more sugar than it is chocolate by far. But then again, what if you can be satisfied with some dark chocolate? Maybe not as sweet. Well, hey, that's a home run, brother. Coffee has been shown to be beneficial. Red wine. When a person eats olives, now there's a fermented substance. So olives, wine, coffee, tea, cocoa, or chocolate, those are all prebiotics. And what they do is they foster the growth or help the growth of that unique species of bacteria called the Bacteroidetes. Okay, you get it. What are you going to do to resolve this? Well, I think you've already figured it out. So obese, this comes from Digestive Diseases 2016. So if you're a gastroenterologist in Tyler, you already know this stuff. You know that the greatest possibility or chance of proving the health of your patients is to encourage the growth of these Bacteroidetes, or if you want to have a person that's sick all the time, let's just give them a junk food diet and they can produce Firmicutes, which generates huge amounts of inflammation. It ain't going to go well. Okay, here's the study. Obese individuals not only exhibit a composition of gut bacteria that favors Firmicutes over Bacteroidetes, but they also exhibit a reduction in gut bacteria diversity. So what is a woman to do, or what is a man to do? Well, you gotta start doing those very things that encourage these good Bacteroidetes bacteria to grow instead of the Firmicutes. Okay, so what's the message today? Start growing the good bacteria. Now, the question is, does this explain maybe why wine-drinking French people, they can consume a very high-calorie, high-fat diet, and they don't pay the price for it? I mean, have you ever looked at, like, National Geographic magazines or Life magazines and seen that women tend to be very, very trim and lean over in France, but not so much here in America? Well, you need to consider that maybe they're consuming more of these prebiotics and these polyphenols that might actually help transform them or help them transcend all these health problems. I read an article from Cell Journal 2016. When they give powdered eggs to lab mice, which powdered eggs, that's oxidized cholesterol, it produces a toxic molecule called trimethylamine N-oxide, which fosters clumping of blood platelets and blood clots. I don't know, have you ever heard of a person having a stroke or a clot that was like a total wrecking of their life? Yes, it happens all the time. So in another study, they took these laboratory mice and they were given either the powdered eggs, and they also gave them resveratrol. Now, this is the first time this morning that I've said this term, resveratrol. But this is the polyphenol that is found in red wine. And so this is just a laboratory study on mice. I'm not saying it translates necessarily to human beings, but I think this is, to me, it's very interesting. So they gave them powdered eggs to try to mess them up, so to speak, which it'll do it to anybody. Do not eat powdered eggs. Resveratrol favored the growth of the bacteroidetes over the firmicutes. It says the bacteroidetes increased from 20.6% to 34% at the expense of the firmicutes. So they went from 60% down to 50%. Ah, this is interesting. It also abolished the noxious chemical that makes you have blood clots and your platelets become all gunked up and sticky. Let's try methylamine inoxide, or TMAO. It improved the production of bile flow in the liver. That's what you want. Hey, you do not want to have a fatty liver. And one of the ways that you prevent a fatty liver is you increase bile flow. Bile is one of the greatest soaps and cleansers of the body. And so when they gave them resveratrol, well, what happened was it increased bile flow in the liver, which in turn retards the accumulation of fatty cholesterol plaque in your arterial walls. I think that's a good deal. Let me see, could that benefit just one person listening this morning? No. Hey, folks, that's a benefit to every one of us. We all benefit. I take resveratrol every day. I love the stuff. Okay. Here's the paraphrasing from the researchers in the study. This comes from the, I can't pronounce his journal name, MBio, April 2016. Isn't that horrible? I should have read that before I went on the air. Here's what the researchers said in their short and sweet paraphrasing. And I quote, "This study demonstrates resveratrol improves the dysregulation of gut microbiota introduced by a high-fat diet, increases the bacteroidetes," which that's good, "and it decreases the firmicutes. It also increases the growth of Lactobacillus acidophilus and Bifidobacter in the mice." Well, you know, who would have ever thought this 10 years ago or 20 years ago? Well, the answer is probably no one. But isn't it great that at the tip of your fingers, you can look this stuff up? So I'm saying this could be maybe a turning point. Now, unfortunately, this information may only be a turning point for the 3% of the population that I'm talking to, which I'd like to believe. If you've got me tuned in this morning and you're listening to me, that means you want to help yourself and you want to improve your present situation. Do you want to improve your relationships? Yes. Do you want to improve the function of your mind and how well you think? Well, the answer is yes. I don't think anybody's going to say, "Hey, Dr. Morgan, I'd like to wreck my physical body. I'd like to have worse digestive health. I'd like to have my hormones more out of balance." Of course you don't. This is the way you do it, by gaining information and wisdom and knowledge and then applying it, putting it into practice. So, just a few more points here, and then I'll be done, and then we'll go straight to the phone lines. And so when I look at this information, I'm thinking, okay, we might be a turning point, but what I really feel like in my heart right now is this is going to be a turning point for the people that are willing to hear this. Sometimes you have to hear things in your heart where you have to start thinking, okay, what is this going to look like if I don't improve my health? Well, it's not going to play out real well. We already know that. If you don't know what poor health looks like, well, when you go out today, why don't you do a little bit of people watching? I like to watch people. I just think it's so fascinating. I mean, I could watch people walk and I can kind of determine who's got a bad ankle or who's got a bad heel. So if I watch a human being walk, yes, I can tell pretty easily, and you can too. It's just not me. You can tell who has a bad hip that needs to be replaced, or have they got a knee that's giving them fits. You can tell by the way a person holds their body if they've got like a bad back that's killing them. Of course you can. Yeah, you can look in people's eyes and you can kind of tell who's in pain. And I'll give you a little tip here. Every human being that you come across today and that you meet is dealing with something that has them stressed and they're suffering from it. That's just the way it is. So maybe we can show some kindness and compassion. Okay, I know this is simple, but it's been recently proposed that these polyphenols, which are a group of natural molecules such as quercetin, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the one that I just mentioned, and that's going to be found in the red wine. And the other one called catechin, that is going to be found in like tea, like green tea. So where does quercetin come from? Well, it comes from an apple peel. Haven't you ever heard the phrase before that an apple a day keeps a doctor away? Well, it's true. See, I had an article about quercetin right here. Okay. I had it. I lost it. If you want to join me on the radio this morning, there's a phone line officially open, 903-586-5257. I think an individual or a person was just trying to call. Why did I say individual? Okay, I have a 50-50 chance to guess if the next caller is going to be male or female. I'm guessing female. Whoops, I missed it. Okay, try again. 903-586-5257. 903-586-5257. I know I pushed it a little bit late. Sorry about that. If you'll call right back, I'll get you right in. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. I just caught up with you a little late. Can you review the list of where you can, the things that have resveratrol, or basically what the list of things you said that can increase the good bacteria?
That's easy. I need you to remember the term prebiotics. Prebiotics, mm-hmm. What they do is when you eat these things or you drink them, it encourages all the good beneficial bacteria that do things like balance your female hormones. They produce vitamins for you. They do all the good things, but you get those when you eat olives. Mm-hmm. Or if you like to eat, actually, I shouldn't even ask you if you like to eat sauerkraut. I should just demand as your doctor that you do exactly as I say and you eat sauerkraut. What do you think about that?
Sounds good to me.
Oh, you're not being very resistant this morning.
Well,
and so if you eat olives, if you like sauerkraut.
Any kind?
Yeah, exactly, any kind. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to Whole Foods before and seen that olive bar where they have like 50 different types of olives?
Oh, yes, I love them.
Oh, it's incredible. So when you eat olives, you're encouraging the growth of beneficial microbes. And like I mentioned earlier, the more beneficial bacteria that you have, they're called bacteroidetes. Just remember the name Roy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. But isn't Roy one of the most masculine names you've ever heard before?
Sure.
That sounded like an affirmative there. I'll take that. But when you eat apples, they contain quercetin, which is one of those polyphenols that's very good for you. So whoever came up with the phrase, an apple a day keeps a doctor away, they knew what they were talking about. But you find these things in green tea. You get them from chocolate or cocoa or cacao. I think that's how it's pronounced. And so red wine. And I've heard from a wine expert. And what makes this individual a wine expert is they probably drink a bottle of wine a day. I'm really just joking. I don't think that makes you a wine expert. But they have told me before that a Cabernet is the one that has the most nutrient density. And so a Cabernet would have more of the polyphenol solids than, say, like a white wine were. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so those are the things that you're looking at, olives and sauerkraut and red wine and chocolate and tea and apples.
Okay.
You notice that all those things are real. None of them are fake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you said that helps with balancing hormones as well?
Absolutely, yes. A woman has got to have good, healthy bacteria if her hormones are going to be in balance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but years ago I came across a study that showed that women that had six or fewer bowel movements per week, they had the most breast cancer.
Wow.
And so it behooves an individual, whether you're male or female, you don't want to have constipation. You want to have good, high-quality, regular bowel movements, because that's one of the ways your body balances hormones.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, thank you for your phone call.
Bye.
Have a good day. Bye. All right. If you'd like to join me on the air, there is plenty of time. The number here at the station, this program is called Health Essentials. If you haven't heard it before, I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. Emphasis on Roy, as in bacteria, Roy, titties, bacteria, being good. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you? I can barely hear you. Are you fighting a windstorm? Oh, I everything's messing up.
Okay.
I can hear you now.
I've been listening to you for a long time, and I've got neuropathy, and you said that vitamin K2
yep.
was real good for that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because I've been taking gabapentin now for several years, and I was just wondering, whenever I start taking the vitamin K2, how much can I drop off of the gabapentin?
Well, that should be easy. As your symptoms dissolve and go away and you start feeling good, you won't have a need for gabapentin anymore.
Okay.
I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not trying to be negative by saying this, but there's nothing in gabapentin that rejuvenates and grows new arteries and veins and nerves. I can tell you what the simple solution is. It's just two things. Number one, set your mind that you're going to grow muscles in your feet and your legs. If you gain a pound of muscle on each one of your legs right now, every nerve and artery that you grow is brand spanking new. You can grow brand new arteries and veins and nerves right now, but you've got to become stronger. Number two, if I could convince you to walk barefooted every day in the grass and the dirt, the latest studies show that people that walk barefoot in the grass or the dirt or on the beach, they actually have twice as many nerves in their feet as those that don't. It's really just as simple as that.
Okay.
And that's free.
Well, I'm only taking about half the gabapentin that I used to take. I keep tapering it off in it.
Is that because you're getting better?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'm getting better.
Hey, way to go. You're on the right track, man.
And I just wanted to know how much, can I just keep tapering off till I won't have to take gabapentin anymore?
Yep, I think it's your call. I don't think this is a life or a death drug, but if somebody doesn't know what neuropathy is, would you just explain to them what the most annoying symptoms that you've experienced at your worst are?
Well, my right foot and my right hand are... I have to really be careful when I get up, because if I don't make sure my foot works right, well, I can just fall over the floor.
That does not sound good.
And I can't ride. I used to ride real good, and now I even ask them at the bank if I need to make out a new signature deal, and they said, no, we know who you are.
Do you mind if I ask what your age is?
85.
85. I never would have guessed that. I was going to say 84 and a half. I missed it by a half year. What do you want to do with your life for the remaining years on Earth?
Well, my wife has been real sick and has had a lot of problems for several years, and all I want to do is just live long enough to take care of her.
Oh, you are a good man. Oh, I pray that God looks upon you with favor and grants your request. That's good. You're an inspiration to us. I thank you so much for your call.
I've appreciated listening to you through the last few years.
Well, you're a sweet man. I love you, and I hope you have a great day, and you keep up the good work. Keep trying.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for calling. Have a good day, buddy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Man, that was great. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. There's about 10 minutes left. It's actually 8.5, but that's pretty good. We can do it. 903-586-5257. I guess if you set your mind to it, it is never too late to improve yourself if you're willing to try. Is it hard? Yeah, it is. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Hey, I called in last week with Poison Ivy.
Yes, sir.
And you told me about this magical blue liquid.
Yeah, magic blue liquid, yeah.
Yeah.
What's it really called?
It goes by the code name Dawn.
Code name Dawn. Oh, yeah. And where does one find this top secret covert magic potion?
You gave a clue. You said it's a big box store with a W on it. So.
Oh, that would be Target. I'm sorry.
But I found one of those stores.
And you found the magic blue liquid?
I did.
Well, keep me in suspense, man. Tell me what happened.
Well, then I also went out and got this other liquid, not so magic, and people don't like to drink it, so I didn't. Called castor oil.
Castor oil, okay.
Yes. But prior to these two substances that you suggested,
yes,
a week earlier, I'd been to the doctor when I didn't realize at first I had poison ivy.
I don't know why I started laughing when you called, but I can't help it.
I don't either.
All right, keep going.
Serious.
So castor oil.
So anyway, yeah, the doctor gave me a steroid shot, where I sit, and then he gave me these pills where I take one less every day for a week.
Yeah.
And I did.
It's called a Medrol dispack. Yeah.
Whatever that. Yeah. I don't ever want to take it again, because when I called you, you gave me this other treatment. And I remember when. When I finished that pack, I went back to the doctor because I still had poison ivy, and so he gave me a topical cream and he said it had steroid in it, and I tried that, and I didn't get much relief.
So you had the shot, you had the Medrol dose pack, and you had a topical steroid. None of it worked.
Well, I took the topical steroid for about a day, and then Saturday came up and I called you.
Oh, so I kind of interrupted your prescription there, huh? I get it.
You did.
But it was your choice, though. I didn't force you against your will.
And I could have.
Although
you
I would have liked to have forced you. I'm joking.
I would have liked to have called you earlier, but I couldn't get through one Saturday, and Saturday only comes once a week.
Well,
so
and
wait.
You know what the problem is? There was a gentleman by the name of Scott that was hogging the airwaves. So I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you. So, and good man, by the way. So I put this on my poison ivy, the blue magical liquid.
Yes. Codename Dawn.
Codename Dawn. And after 5 minutes, I washed it off. That Saturday, I did it 9 times. And what I
perfect. Perfect.
Because you said once an hour. I remember that part. So I found myself going into the shower because it was a whole lot easier because I had poison ivy on arms and both arms, both legs.
Was there anybody to observe this?
No.
Okay.
My wife was bored with it, and she said she didn't believe in it.
Maybe I shouldn't have asked that question. Proceed on with your story, young man.
Thank you. However, immediately I got some relief, and what really helped was castor oil.
What did you just say?
Immediately.
Immediately, okay. All right, go
ahead.
Yeah,
there was some burning and pain with the poison ivy. It's sensitive to touch.
Yeah.
And that really went away. And the castor oil, when I put that on.
I've never done this before. You're my first guinea pig. I'm going to write
a
note.
Are you serious?
No, I'm joking.
I hope so.
This is great.
Anyway, the castor oil really soothed my skin.
Oh, man.
That was gold. And anyway, the next day, instead of being poison ivy, a dark red on my skin, it was a light pink. And there were only a few little, almost like pinpoints where It was really, really sensitive.
You don't say. Wow.
Yeah, I do say.
Wow.
A lot better than steroid shot where you
I bet you anything there's somebody that's got poison ivy right now, and they're listening to this, and they're going, who is this genius man that's calling Dr. Morgan?
He's the genius man that did what Dr. Morgan suggested.
Oh, well,
that's where the genius part comes in. That's where the genius part comes in.
Well, maybe that's the inappropriate use of the word genius. But anyway, go on. Well, this is great. Good.
Yeah. Oh, it was. Unfortunately, come Sunday and the rest of the week, I couldn't apply this as often. But still, life was tolerable. And now there's nothing.
I'm so proud of you, good man.
Well,
you took action. Well, you know, you did have to have a little bit of, faith, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Faith.
Well, thanks for your report. This is wonderful.
I thought so, too.
I've decided to give you an A-plus on your report card in conduct. I know that when you were in elementary school, you did not get an A-plus, but as your teacher, I'm giving you an A-plus.
I needed one of those. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So let's let somebody else call and get some.
All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate the feedback. You made my day.
You're welcome. Okay.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. If you'd like to join me on the radio, there's time for another quick phone call. There's about 2.5 minutes left. 903-586-5257. If we go back to the conversation earlier, the name of the polyphenol is called resveratrol. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Morning, Dr. Morgan.
Hello.
Can you talk about, I'm 74, talk about the good health for the prostate?
Yes, I sure will. I'll do it real fast.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye. All right, the Canadian studies show that men that walk 35 to 45 minutes a day, they have a considerably healthier prostate than men that do not walk or do not exercise, so that's a component. And just think of it this way. Your blood carries an ocean of nutrients and life force and oxygen. And quite often when the prostate's a problem, it's because fluids are becoming quite stagnant. Just think of like a pond that's filled with duckweed and black algae. Not good. What we want is a mountain stream that's very, very clear, that washes everything beautifully clean and clear and renews it and refreshes it. Green tea has got to be one of the most fabulous things of all time for the prostate. I do not have the research right in front of me, but I remember, you know, I started to say researching. I don't think researching is the same as just reading it. I was just reading it. I wasn't researching it. But when men consume green tea, it has some of the most powerful studies against the development of prostate cancer. Does that make sense? So if one, and that's almost what I mentioned earlier, that green tea this morning contains what are called prebiotics. These are things that encourage the growth of a very beneficial bacteria called Bacteroidetes. You didn't get that, did you? Bacteroidetes. And so when somebody consumes green tea, or they eat olives, or they get quercetin from an apple peeling, you get that by eating the apple, right? Well, you're encouraging the beneficial microbes. And so as people age, all human beings, whether you're 40 years of age or you're 60 years of age, the longer that you live on Earth, the more you're going to have to contend with excessive inflammation. That's where these things come in handy. I just realized I'm out of time. I apologize.